Welcome to GG Radio. I'm thrilled to have you as a good, good friend on the show. And, I've known you for about 8 years. And one of the things that really fascinates me about you right from the beginning is the quality that served you well is your personality. You know, you're very approachable, you're humble, you're willing to listen. What are the roots of that?
Well, I think a big part of it is my upbringing. I was blessed to have loving parents and loving caretakers throughout my community growing up, and there's always been that sense of respect, treat family, treat others, treat elders with respect, and I try to carry that with me on a daily basis, no matter where I'm at.
Yeah, and it served you well, obviously. Give us a little bit of an insight into your childhood, and how this was developed. What was your surroundings? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in the Hill River Indian community. I was raised by my parents. Our community is broken up into 7 districts, and I was raised in District 4. And within our community, there were a number of different families, some that I was related to and some that I wasn't, but there were a number of families that my parents and my family interacted with on an ongoing basis, whether it was through the church or just through fellowship in some different manner. But each of those families that I grew up with, and some of them even took care of me while my parents worked, really helped kind of shape who I am today. I mean, I still see so many of them on an ongoing basis, whether it's through social functions or different events within the community. A lot of the folks that I grew up with are still there. So growing up on the reservation wasn't always the easiest thing to do, but it's all that I knew. So I never knew that, many times I never knew there was a world out there other than my initial surroundings.
Yeah, and that's a theme that many people that have grown up on the res, they talk about it, and then, getting out into the outside world and kind of exploring this mass populace. Give us an idea of what kind of number. It was a very small community, right? What kind of numbers are we talking about? Because some of our viewers might not know how a res is made up with the amount of people and how it's, divided up and all that.
Well, let's see. I think our last census numbers had us a little over 20,000. But I think when over the years, I've done some fact checking as well. And so even though now we sit at 20,000 members, I wouldn't know the exact number of where we sat at back when I was born in 1971, so I'm not really sure what the population looked like then. But I was able to check Arizona State census, and I think now Phoenix is about 7 million, and back in 1971, I think they were sitting at about 1.7 million. So that just gives you a small indicator of how not only our area has grown, but, in Maricopa County and the surrounding larger cities.
Sure. Ken, you had said something when you talked about your childhood. You said it wasn't easy. What wasn't easy about it?
When I look back and I think about, the house that I grew up in with no running water inside, we didn't have eating inside the house as well. So I can remember my mother cooking on a wood burning stove and eating water that we had to get from
just to take baths or just to have running water or some kind of bathing water as well. So when I think back on that, I think, wow, you know, we definitely had it a little rough compared to, you know, what's available today.
Yeah, there's no question about that. So you experienced the evolution when the casinos came in and money started flowing, right? You saw that crossover, right?
Oh, most definitely. Living conditions for so many of our community members that still live on the res has improved greatly from the time that I was born.
How old were you when it started happening? Were you of age to understand exactly the evolution of that?
Oh, well, when gaming first came to Gila River, I was actually part of that. I don't even know if you knew that, but I started with the casino when we first opened back in 1994.
No, I didn't know that. Wow.
So I was actually one of the original employees.
Wow.
Started at the casino.
Let's pick up on that then. Tell us a little bit about the time when the casino was being built and your involvement, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was all of probably, good grief, maybe about 22, 23 years old. I started out in slot operations. I applied for an entry level position, and so I got to be part of the casino before it opened up, and I was there on day one when we first opened. I worked at the original casino that we first opened up, which was Lone Butte, and then had the opportunity to move over to another, a little bit larger facility about a year and a half later, and was promoted to supervisor and then eventually became the manager of slot operations for that facility, and then eventually became the acting director of slot operations. So I spent about 10 and a half years in slot operations, and just from the ground up, just learning about the business and interacting with departments like security and cage and collections and players club and food and beverage and surveillance. So that was a daily thing, you can't even put a price tag on growing up in the business and learning that way.
Yeah, it's an amazing, and I've always been fascinated by your trajectory, because I know that you did start, and I didn't know that you didn't start, you did start at the beginning, but I knew that you had started, at the bottom and worked your way up for many, many years to get to where you are, which you're starting to see more often now in native gaming, because of the generations are getting moving on and taking control of their own casinos. What were the first couple of years like for you? Because you had said that you went from, your mother cooking on a wood stove, no running water, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, here you are, 22 years old, and there's the ribbon cutting for the casino. What was that? What were those moments like for you and your tribe?
Well, at 22, 23 years old, I think I was probably looking at it a little differently. I probably was very thankful and grateful to my community for not only opening this casino up, but for also hiring me and allowing me to work for them. So looking at it back then, I probably looked at it at a very micro level, but as you get older and you look at it from a more macro level, you tend to really put things into perspective. I mean, the leaders at that time who decided that they were going to get into gaming, really were the great folks and the great visionaries at the time, because they understood what those gaming dollars were going to do for the community. Again, keep in mind, at 22 years old, I probably didn't understand the full dynamic of what was going to take place for the community. Obviously now, sitting in my role now, I mean, it's one of the things that drives me on a daily basis to do what I do, because I know exactly where those gaming dollars are going towards. And when I see young community members coming up through the ranks, I love sharing my story. I love encouraging them in so many different ways, just as I was encouraged at a young age.
Yeah, it's fascinating all the experiences that you've had from one end to the other. Talk a little bit about those leaders at that time. There were also the people that you looked up to as a young kid, right?
Oh yes. I guess you could say I was a sponge at an early age. I mean, there's so many different, you know, mentors that I looked to and looked up to and appreciated both within the community as well as in the business. So from the community perspective, you know, I can remember our former governor, Mary Thomas, who was a very strong governor and leader and respected leader and governor. You know, her words of wisdom, and then different folks, different council representatives, and just a number of different folks in the community. The gentleman who hired me, Robert Porter, who was once a former councilman and did some administrative work for the community for a large number of years, was definitely someone that I appreciated and looked up to.
Yeah, so you always, like you said, you were a sponge for those the words of wisdom from those people, and you all had a common goal, and that was to improve the quality of life and the future for the Native Nations, right?
That is correct. I mean, we have a mission statement that was created many, many years ago, and you know, to this day still stands. And you know, in that mission statement, we are to generate revenue for the Heal River Indian community and to provide employment for our community members and to participate in the economic development of the Heal River Indian community. So they're great words. They're great. It's a great mission statement to abide by on a daily basis.
Yeah, it sure is. When you got into the business, did you have any idea of where you would be headed?
Absolutely not. You know, in all honesty, you know, when there's still so many of my fellow coworkers that are still there today, and you know, sometimes we'll get together and chat about the old days, and you know, a lot of folks have moved up over the years. And you know, one common phrase that we all seem to repeat to one another is the fact that we never thought we would be where we're at today.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing if you think about it. And your generation is really the only one that's going to experience the evolution in that period. So you're kind of in a very privileged position, because as the generations move on, the infrastructures are already built. What advice do you have for the older people that are out there? What advice do you have for them on mentorship? Because I know you're a big believer in that, and I know that some of my associates who have worked with you have talked about how, you know, they really loved working with you, and they were really enthused about teaching you as much as they knew. What is your advice to the older people out there? To how should they treat the younger generation?
For older people, and how to teach younger people?
Yeah, how to be mentors. How to be mentors. What does it take to be a good mentor?
I really think it takes a good understanding of where both folks sit. I think the respect has to go both ways. I think, you know, the appreciation has to go both ways. The the younger mentee needs to really be ready to work hard. They have to be able to take criticism, and they have to be willing to learn from their mentor. And, you know, mentors need to also understand that, you know, maybe their mentee doesn't always have all the experience, but they're there for a reason, and they want to learn, and they want to learn from their mentor.
Yeah, there has to be, it has to be a two-way street, right? And that, yeah, and that's where I see that as your one of your greatest assets is you always have an open ear and an open mind, and you have a very tranquil character to you. You're very approachable. You know, I've never seen you get out of whack. What your role as a CEO? What does it entail, and what are some of the most difficult things you have to deal with?
Probably, if I had to think, maybe the most challenging is the balance. I think, you know, we have so many great projects that we're currently working on, and you know, there's so many great things that we've already accomplished in the year, and so that I've been the CEO, and so I think it's really gaining that balance and making sure that nothing goes by the wayside, because all of these projects and all of these, you know, the different campaigns that I've been a part of, work campaigns, are so important to the community. So for me, I think it's not wanting to let anything slip, because I have a vested interest. Obviously, I come from the community, so I just want to make sure that, you know, everything comes across correctly and appropriately in the right way. Now, granted, not everything is going to go as a schedule, so being able to improvise, being able to adjust when those things don't go as planned, probably would be one of them as well.
Yeah, because you're juggling a lot of balls, right? There's a lot of things that are going on.
That is correct.
Yeah, you have to be a really good multitasker, which I know that you are. What can you tell others who aspire to evolve into higher positions? Because you have taken a trajectory right to the top, and along that way, you've learned a lot of things on how to get there. What is your advice to people that want to move up?
You have to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. You have to be willing to learn something that you've never learned before. And you have to treat people with respect. No matter if they're, you know, five positions above you or five positions below you, the folks that I've worked with over the years at all three casinos, I still see them on a daily basis. I think just be willing to understand, be willing to work hard, be willing to take criticism, as I mentioned earlier, and be willing to adjust to the business. I think is probably my best advice, is because this business is so complex. I had. You know, two very strong mentors on the business end who were, you know, very different, but had strong knowledge, strong background, strong experience, and they tested me. They tested me, Tino, and, you know, to this day, I look up to both of them and consider them both great mentors to me.
Yeah, there has to be that mutual trust, right? That's a big thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Where do you think we're going to be? Like, where are we now, and where are we headed in gaming? I know that's a loaded question, but what are some of your you know, predictions? You know, what's going on now, and how is it going to evolve?
Well, I think there's a couple of, well, you know, I'll just maybe bring up two. I'm excited about the future of gaming. It's the first one is obviously, you know, what you see at the trade shows and, you know, what's going on in the industry with mobile wallets and mobile gaming and, being able to take advantage of the, what the manufacturers have to offer. So I'm really excited about where we're going with this. I mean, Samsung Pay, Apple Pay, you know, being able to load a wallet and being able to control what you're able to play with right there at the machine is something pretty exciting. But also where we're going with the sports betting. You know, I think everyone in the industry is anxious to see what happens here in the next month or few months, and what comes out of the Supreme Court. And it's just going to be another added attraction with sports betting that's going to be available to both commercial and Native American casinos. And having that offering in the properties is going to be tremendous.
Yeah, that'll be a big thing, a huge thing. What are some of the things that you want to accomplish for your tribe while you're a CEO?
Well, I definitely want to be part of our economic development for the listeners or for yourself who may or may not be familiar with our location. We have strong relationships with the surrounding communities. Phoenix, Chandler, Mesa, Tempe, and many other surrounding communities. So, you know, and where we sit, where our tribe sits, we have tremendous opportunity to increase our economic development. So I know my community knows this. Sometimes I get a little ahead of myself, but it's only because I'm excited about the opportunities, and if there's any way I can participate in that, I definitely want to be a part of that. So, I think our community has some ideas and some projects that they're working on, and so I definitely encourage them to do that and to push through.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be whatever you do. I'm sure it'll be very successful. You're just amazing with people and. You know, just some of the people that, when I bring up your name, they have nothing but good things to say about you. So, it's really great. Yeah, it's really great. Let me go to some questions here because the phones are buzzing here. We got some people here that want to ask some questions. So let me start. Okay, hang on. Hello, welcome to GT Radio. This is Tino Magnetta. You have a question for Ken.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tino and Ken. Steve Neely from down the road in Tucson. Just wanted to say hi to Ken.
Mr. Neely.
Great. You know, I'm curious, you know, obviously it's great hearing your story and you know, the impact that tribal gaming has had on your life personally and the impact it's having on the tribe. You know, as someone that comes into Phoenix from Tucson periodically, you know, if you're listening to the radio or you're watching TV in that market, every venue in that city now has the name of a tribe as the presenting sponsor of it, whether it's Gila River Arena or Talking Stick Arena or, you know, with the exception, of course, of the football stadium. But when you as someone that grew up in that area, you see that, you experience that for yourself, how does that make you feel to just be able to see the impact that tribal gaming has had on the entire community, not just your tribe and not just, you know, the tribes, but on the entire community? What goes through your mind when you hear the advertising or you go to one of these venues? What goes through your mind?
Steve, just beyond proud, beyond, it truly is an overwhelming experience when I see this, because the names on these arenas or these venues or these partnerships that we do have, they're not only each of the partners, whether it's the Diamondbacks or the Cardinals or the Coyotes, it's so much more than just a branded or a branding partnership. Just a little to share, and Steve, you may or may not know this, but because of our partnerships with the different sports teams, each of those teams at different times throughout the year will conduct sports clinics, and we get groups of children from the Gila River Indian community, and we get them to the different parks or the different arenas, and coaches and players interact with our kids and teach them fundamentals about the different sports, whether it be hockey or baseball or football. And it's just, it's beyond, I mean, it's sometimes I have to pinch myself to really think about this and see exactly how it makes me feel, because none of that existed when I was growing up or when other members were growing up. So just a very proud feeling.
I can imagine. I understand. I just wanted to say hi, and I appreciate, you know, Tino, all that you and Golly do to make this happen, and, you know, always good talking to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, do you have another question for Ken?
No, I don't want to monopolize the time or anything. I just wanted to, you know, say hi, and again, I was, you know, it's always, as someone that works in the market, you know, it and some of the same experiences that Ken described with the teams helping the youth, you know, I know how much that means to me and to the, you know, the membership of the tribe I work with. So I can only imagine, you know, having even more access to that. What an experience that is, you know, for the kids up there as well.
Yeah, it's a very unique feeling. Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it.
You bet. See you guys.
Okay, take care.
Take care, Steve.
Good question. Hang on one sec. Hello, this is GT Radio and Tino Magnetta. You have a question for Ken?
Hey, Tino. Hey, Ken. This is Wayne Wildrick with the Experiture Marketing Platform in New York. How you guys doing?
Good. East Coast. Is it cold?
It has been ridiculously cold most for like the last week, but we had a little bit of a break today. We got up into the 50s, which is a godsend.
Good.
So I guess Phoenix sent some of their nice warm weather our way.
Fantastic.
Oh, 70 degrees today.
Beautiful. A little jealous, but I'm happy with my 50. So Ken, you know, knowing that, look, that your area is absolutely, you know, it's a beautiful part of the country. There's so much stuff going on. There's, you know, so many different, you know, recreation resources, lots of outdoors stuff that, you know, people can participate in. You know, as far as marketing goes, are there any programs, promotions, campaigns that you've found to be particularly successful with driving player engagement and having people come back time after time?
So we have a number of different marketing campaigns and promotions throughout the year, and several of our campaigns revolve around some of the partnerships that we have with our sports teams. So when players come in, depending on the promotion or depending on the campaign itself, a lot of times they're able to win or partake in some of this tickets that we were able to obtain through our partnership with the different sports teams, so the Arizona Cardinals, the Arizona Coyotes, or the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's one of them. And then throughout the year, we try to create some consistency with some of our marketing promotions, so we ensure that you know, players don't become confused. As you know as well as I know, players become creatures of habit. And so if we throw them off too much, we run the risk of losing some of our loyal guests. We have a strong database as well. So we've built that over all the years that we've been open. And so all of our players have come to know what Gila River stands for. And so that's just some of the things that we work on.
That's great. Good stuff. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Right. Hello, this is GT Radio. You have a question for Ken. Hello. I guess.
Hello.
They don't. Okay, that's true. Oh. Yes, can you hear us? Yes. Hello, do you have a question for Ken? Hello?
Hello?
All right. Hello, do you have a question for Ken? All right, we'll have to get back to you then. Ken's got a bad connection. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken? Hello? Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken?
Yes, I do. Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I know you went through the Gila River mentoring program to become the CEO, and I was wondering what advice would you have for other tribes that would like to create a similar program and maybe have one of their tribal memberships lead the tribe, the tribal casinos.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question? I might not have heard correct. I might not have heard clearly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I know that the Gila River tribe had a mentoring program that you were able to go through to become the CEO. And I was just curious if there's if you have any advice for other tribes that would like to do something similar and have one of their tribal members, you know, become, you know, general manager or CEO, kind of, you know, the way that you had done it.
I believe and I think and I feel strongly that the tribe or the leadership really needs to make it. Needs to place strong emphasis on this, on the development of a mentorship program. So myself, working at an early age in the casino, I knew that our leadership at the time struggled with the development of a formal program. And so when at one point in my career, I actually sat on the board of directors and for the casino. And so I knew that this was something that they strongly believed in and wanted to see in place. So I believe that the leadership of the different tribe or nation really needs to place strong emphasis on this and hold the casino management accountable for that. So I think it definitely needs to come from the top. There needs to be strong support for it. And it can happen.
Very good.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Great.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yep. Okay. Okay, got a lot of calls here, Ken. Okay, let's see who else is it.
Okay.
Hello. Well, hang on. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken?
Hi, Tino. It's Rich.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Ken,
my question to you is, you know, what do you think are the 2 to 3 most valuable lessons you've learned on your way to becoming CEO and why?
Good question.
That is a good question. Two most valuable lessons. Let's try one. We'll go with one. The first lesson is you definitely have to be willing to work hard, and you definitely have to be willing to step outside your comfort zone and be willing to learn. I grew up in slot operations, so I mean, slot operations was basically my life for 10 and a half years. Although I interacted with different departments, it was definitely something that I was definitely comfortable in slot operations, I have to admit. So on my way and through the mentorship program, I learned about so many different departments and how they all are important and it wasn't just about slot operations. So definitely be willing to step outside your comfort zone. The second one is definitely, I think, in tribal gaming, there's a balance. You have to have a balance between the operations and the tribal aspect. So I think where folks might fail in Indian country is they don't always take the time to understand the culture. So I think by me obviously being a member and learning within my own gaming operation gave me a leg up on folks, on different folks, because I understood the culture, and I think that's where sometimes folks fall by the wayside. So those are the two.
That's a great question. Do you have another question?
Yeah, this is, you know, we've had a couple other conversations with other casinos, and there's this big push to diversify the revenue stream. Do you see your tribe diversifying? So, you know, maybe not relying so much on gaming for revenue, but other aspects within the gaming industry or within the casino industry, such as convention centers. Is that something that your tribe is looking at doing?
I have to be a little politically correct, because I can't speak 100% for the tribe, but I will answer that with I believe that is something that they're looking at.
That's good. Okay, great. Rich, thank you so much. Those are two great questions.
Thank you, Rich.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, moving right along here. I like that last answer. All right, here we go. Let's see who this is right here. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken? Hello,
hi,
hello.
This is Dan Segal with Welcome Marketing. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Gino?
Good.
Ken, I really enjoyed the conversation here and a lot of neat things. And your tenure in the industry is really amazing. But I guess besides marketing, being a marketing guy, let me ask you, what drives you the most about tribal gaming in today's environment?
Well, I think again, it's personal in so many ways. It's personal because of the revenues that we're able to generate for the community that I'm a part of and the community that I grew up in. I share this with new team members on a monthly or biweekly basis, and I share with them the fact that, you know, they should be proud of the fact that they're working for an organization that supports a community, whether it be housing or healthcare or education, police departments. The revenues that are generated by Gila River Gaming Enterprises' three casinos go to support a lot of important programs for the community. So I think that's what drives me. Competition drives me. Technology, innovation, those things do drive me, and I'm always excited about, you know, what's next and can we take advantage of, and as far as technology. But I think for the most part, the personal aspect and what I'm able to help do for the community.
Thank you. That's very that's very inspirational, motivating. So that's good. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. I guess you've had a lot of success. How do you maybe plan to pay that forward with all the success you've seen in all your years?
Fantastic question. I am a huge supporter of our mentorship program. We have over, we have had over 50 successful graduates of our mentorship program. And it's a mentorship program that I I helped build and I helped create, and I was a part of when it was first developed. So I'm always encouraging young community members to strive for their dreams and to look to move up. And if there's anything I can do to help them, I always try to make myself available. So definitely encourage other community members that work in the enterprise and even those that don't work in the enterprise.
Yeah, that's great. And it's great that you help initiate it. That's even more incredible. Great. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. I have two questions, if that's okay. What are your views on online? Oh, first of all, hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are your views on online gaming and sports? And where would you like to see yourself? Where would you like to see your tribe in 20 years?
So those are two questions, I guess. The first one is about all the online stuff. Yeah, okay, again.
Well, I think that, you know, online gaming definitely it's huge in Europe. It's huge in other countries, and I think that the United States still needs to do some work in order to get online gaming to a place where it's going to be comfortable with either the casino operators or other operators. So, and I think there needs, I mean, strong regulation. It needs to be regulated. There's right now, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. You know, we definitely need to be responsible when it comes to online gaming. I'm excited about the opportunity, but I think that there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered when it comes to online gaming. So I think that's where I stand. We definitely want to take advantage of it when a lot of those questions are answered. I think that's where I'll leave that at this point. And then the second question was where do I think Gila River will be in 20 years?
The tribe, yeah.
The tribe.
Yes.
Well, I know where I'd like to see the tribe, but again, you know, my primary focus at this point is the gaming enterprise. I definitely want to continue to develop our relationships with the surrounding communities. Right now, we currently have great relationships with those, so anything we can do to enhance and foster those, it would be tremendous. Tourism is huge in the valley where we're located. So if there's anything that we can do to take advantage of even more so, whether it be through, you know, different economic development projects, because of where we're situated, and I don't know if you're familiar where we're situated, but we have a great, fantastic location. We're situated off of, which will be two major freeway arteries here soon. So I definitely want to take advantage of any new developments.
That's great.
Okay.
Thanks. Was that? Those were the two questions, right? Okay, great. Thanks. All right. Some great questions. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along here. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
yes.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Do you have a
doing?
Question for Ken?
Yeah, you sounded great. Can you tell us, what are the things that concern you the most about gaming today?
What are the things that concern me the most about gaming today?
Right.
Well, I think are you speaking about my particular jurisdiction, or are you talking about just gaming in general?
I think
well,
more
yeah.
in a general sense, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we look at competition always as something that could be a threat, whether it's other casinos or it's, you know, different entertainment venues throughout the different cities. You know, we compete with restaurants down the road. We compete with bowling alleys. We compete with movie theaters. You know, I think just some of those venues will look to enhance their businesses as time goes on. So, I mean, off the top of my head, that's probably one of the things that I would look at as something that concerns me is competition.
Right. Yeah, just recreational things that are popping up, right?
Yeah, both recreational and maybe potential for other casinos.
Yeah. Did you have another question?
Yeah. Can I put one in? Ken,
sure.
How do you think, how do we get the new generation more attracted, you know, into gaming and spending more time and attention to it?
Good question.
How do we get, well, I think we're seeing that currently with some of the esports that has taken place with some of the large venues and, you know, the kids, the younger people play these games and they play against each other over Wi-Fi, over the internet. And so I think, you know, there's jurisdictions that are taking advantage of that. But also, even with some of the games that are offered inside the casinos, I mean, I grew up playing Pac-Man. I grew up playing Frogger. And now you see those games out on the casino floor. So I think gaming manufacturers are definitely taking a look at the themes and, you know, they're taking a look at the generations, you know, whether it's Gen Xers or millennials. But I mean, I'm a firm believer that the Gen Xers are the folks that, you know, we need to be targeting and bringing themes that they're familiar with to our casinos.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay, I think we have time for one more here. Let's see. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken? Hello? This is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Ken? Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I guess there's nobody. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Hey, Ken, how are you? Great interview and call so far. My question is pretty general. Both for you personally, as well as the tribe, and I think somebody just asked it. What do you see the tribe in 20 years? And you definitely couldn't ask that. But for yourself personally, I know you went through this mentorship and you kind of got to a pretty high level. Where do you go from here personally? What's the next step? Do you keep on this track or what's the next goal for you?
Well, I'm going to leave part of that up to the Creator and Almighty God for a good portion of it. But, where do I see myself? So the last year has been fantastic and tremendous for me. And really, I do have to apologize. I probably haven't given a whole lot of thought of where I see myself in the future. Right now, I am so focused on, you know, the next few years for the enterprise and what we're continuing to do for the community. I definitely see myself mentoring another community member to take my place at some point and actually look forward to that. I know people looked out for me and I want to pay it forward. But I definitely either want to see myself in continuing to mentor and lead within the enterprise and or the community at some point.
Yeah, that's great. Did you have another question?
you know, a lot of things have happened over the last, let's say, you know, last 30 years. Obviously, a lot of different things in terms of, you know, the financial collapse and, you know, maybe just some of the, you know, newer properties coming on board, maybe a lot of competition that's coming on board in Phoenix. Is there anything that you think you would be doing differently based on what you've learned in the past for your tribe?
Well, if you know my tribe, you'll know that we're a very conservative community, and so anything that I would present or bring forward to them has to and will be brought with the greatest respect and concern for you know, for the community itself. So we are one of the revenue generators for the community, and I take my job very seriously. So anything that I bring forward, you know, I would have to do careful research on. And so I guess I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your questions. That was great. Ken, what is the parting message here? What is the final thing that you'd like to put out there for all of Native Nations? At the core, what is the message moving forward?
I think we have so much potential. I think tribes have so much potential, whether it's you know, with their casinos or their economic development, and it's truly about being willing to step outside the comfort zone. You know, I grew up in a somewhat sheltered community, and I think that exposing yourself and your community to outside opportunities is something that tribes have to take advantage of if they want to continue with their economic development.
Yeah, it's something you've said repeatedly during this interview. Getting out of the comfort zone, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a common theme in everything you've said, and sometimes that can be very difficult, right? Extremely difficult.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah, psychologically, physically, all that stuff. Yeah. Ken, thank you so much. It's been a fantastic interview. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have taken a lot in today, and I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing you again and to having you back on the show.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was fantastic. Ken has a unique story. He's an amazing person, and I respect him a lot. I've known him for many, many years. Join us next week. Well, not next week, in 2 weeks, sorry. January 25th, we have Lena Schleck from Lake of the Torches, and she has some funny stories. And she has some stuff. I had a breakfast with her at G2E, and she sat down, and she made me laugh quite a bit. She's a very funny girl, but she really knows what she's doing, and I'm looking forward to having her on the show. And thank you all for listening this evening and supporting our program. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have the time to listen. Thank you. God bless, and good night.